Honorable Mary J. Scholin presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. You may be seated.
Good morning. My name is Judge Scholin. To my right is Judge Rieger. To my left is Judge Allen. We're here today to hear the case of Bobby R. George versus David J. Scholkin, M.D., Secretary of Veterans Affairs, docket number 16-1221. Would counsel for each party please make their appearance to the right?
Appellant is represented by Kenneth Carpenter and Linda Hurl.
Jessica Grunberg for the Secretary, and with me is Ed Cassidy.
Thank you. Welcome. Does appellant's counsel wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
10 minutes, Your Honor.
May it please the court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Bobby George. Mr. Bobby George avers that both board decisions, the 2014 as well as the 2015 decision, failed to correctly apply the provisions of 38 CFR 3.156C. Because this court does not review plenary the challenge decision in a request for revision, this appeal is only about an error that was made by the 2015 board decision. That error was the failure to correctly apply the mandate for providing reconsideration under 38 CFR 3.156C1. But for this error, the board would have been required to revise the board's 2014 decision, ordering that the VA reconsider Mr. George's original claim, as was decided in the VA's 1997 decision. This appeal,
or 98?
The decision was in 98, the claim was in 97. This appeal concerns how an original claim is to be reconsidered under the provisions of 3.156C1. There is no dispute in this record that 3.156C required reconsideration of Mr. George's original claim because the VA received and associated with the claims file newly associated service department records that had not been associated with the claims file at the time of the decision in 1998. Yes, Your Honor.
You said this case is about how is a claim to be reconsidered under 3.156.
Yes.
So you're asserting there is a lack of clarity as to what's supposed to happen.
I am.
Would that argument not have been appropriately made on the direct appeal on the board decision in 2014?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. Certainly, if I had thought in those terms at that time, I would have presented that issue. I have to say that the evolution of both my understanding and this court's understanding of the operation of this regulation has clearly been evolving. And I don't think that to this day, this regulation is properly understood as to what precisely the VA is required to do when it reconsiders.
So in the context of Q, where you have to show that there was an error, if we don't know what they're precisely supposed to do, how can we find what they did was clearly and unmistakably erroneous?
You cannot do that because that would be a plenary review of the 2014 decision. That is the challenge for the board. This court is required to interpret the meaning of the regulation so as to properly instruct the board as to how they are to evaluate what the board did in 2014 and whether they did or did not comply with the requirements properly to reconsider Mr. George's 1997 claim.
I feel like, again, we're kind of going in a circle here, that if I am reviewing the most recent board decisions, application, or review, I should say, of the prior board decision, I am only reviewing what the most recent board decision did, not how the regulation should have been applied in the very first place when that is not set in stone yet.
That's correct. And let me try to give you an example. In the board's decision on appeal, the 2015 board decision, the board found that the 2014 board decision did not use the exact terms as delineated in the regulation. It seems to me that that statement, before they say anything else, should have required revision. Because if you did not, if the board did not exactly use the terms as delineated in the regulation, then that was a clear and unmistakable error. But the board goes on to describe what happened in the 2014 decision as it essentially found, meaning the 2014 board decision, that the medical evidence did not adequately support a finding that the veteran's PTSD had its onset prior to 2003. That, Your Honor, I believe, describes the error that was made by the 2015 board decision to permit, by the 2015 board decision to permit the 2014 board decision to proceed when all they did, as acknowledged by the 2015 board decision in the 2014 board decision, was to essentially make a finding about effective date for the onset of PTSD. That is not the issue in reconsideration. The issue in reconsideration, and I believe the Federal Circuit gives us some guidance on this in the Blubach case, in which the Federal Circuit explained that 3.156C establishes an exception to the general rule, which the purpose of which is to place the veteran in a position that he or she would have been had the VA considered the relevant service department records before the disposition of the earlier claim. So that, I believe, sort of brings into focus what the circumstances are in this case, where we have a board decision that acknowledges that a prior board decision did not use the exact terms of the regulation and then made a finding that simply related to, if you will, the existence of PTSD or its onset prior to 2003.
Mr. Carpenter, can I ask a question? Because this is almost like one of those LSAT logic games with the two decisions and the going around in circles. So I'm going to take it in little tiny bits.
Yes.
So the first bit is, in your briefs, you argue about the standard of review. So we'll agree that the basic standard of review for Q would be arbitrary and capricious.
Yes.
So, but if I understand it, just I want to make sure I get the argument. You're saying that the threshold question for us today is a question of law.
Yes.
Because the issue is, in the 2015 board decision, did that decision state what the law under 3.156C is, meaning that you start at one before you get to three?
Correct.
Is it? Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So,
If I could just inquire,
absolutely.
Start at one before you get to three. I'm not
meaning
see, well, okay. Excuse me.
Three.
Okay.
I also count one to three.
No.
Event, that's separate.
I just want to make sure I said yes to something that I actually understood.
Because your basic argument would be then, first of all, we have to make sure that the 2015 board articulated what this regulation means as a matter of law.
Yes.
If we determine that they didn't, well, that's easy. If we determine that they did, that they were correct, the 2015 board was correct in stating what the law was, then we look at what did the 2015 board did and say, was it arbitrary and capricious for them to have determined that the 2014 board got it essentially right? Is that basically what, do we agree about what the legal framework is?
I believe that is correct. And just to sort of return for a moment to Judge Scholin's question, to me, the circularity of this is created by the Archer decision in this from this court that says that this court doesn't do a plenary review of the challenge decision. So as a result, we're sort of once removed from the actual decision that's being challenged, with looking at how a reviewing decision looked at that decision. And I think that that is the proper analysis, as you just articulated, Judge Allen.
So let me go to a sort of different question. So it's sort of two parts, although they're related. What do you understand, quote, reconsider the claim to mean? And why do you understand it to mean that? In other words, what's the source of law?
As I said to Judge Scholin, my understanding of 3.16c has been evolving. And I do not believe that I have the same understanding of that when I handled this case originally as I did when I handled the case for the request for revision, or even when I did the briefing. Having said that, and having looked at, and I think the only source of law is the text of the regulation. There are some other cases, Emerson recently from this court, Blubaugh from the Federal Circuit, that have given us some insight into what 3.156C means, but I have found no source of law that describes what 3.156C is meant to do and how it is meant to do it.
So can I stop you there?
Yes.
Just for 1 second, then we'll come back. Because I think that's the very interesting question, is reconsideration different than reopening? What, right? But what if somebody were to say this? Once one gets over this hurdle about whether the 2015 board articulated what the law was, once you get over that, and so assume with me that we conclude that the 2015 board had the correct legal framework. Once we then get to reviewing whether what they decided was arbitrary, what it decided was arbitrary and capricious, if the determination about what is reconsideration is itself uncertain, isn't it by definition basically not an arbitrary and capricious decision? Because the law is unsettled or unwritten, and so on direct appeal, we might be able to do more than we are going to be on cue. And I ask that as an actual question.
Yes, and my answer to that is no. I do not believe that there is that limitation because of the nature of the proceedings. Meaning in the context of cue. The operation of 3.156C is critical to the veteran getting the benefit to which he or she is entitled to. It is up to the VA, whether it's in its original decision or in its board decisions, to correctly understand their own regulation. And if there is uncertainty about that regulation, then the burden is on the secretary to clarify, as the secretary in fact did in 2006, ultimately, when it amended 3.156C. But it did not, the secretary's amendment did not go far enough to share either with the VA itself, the agents of the secretary, as to how to perform the function under 3.156C. And therefore, I think it is incumbent upon this court to articulate for the benefit of all parties involved what the correct interpretation is of this regulation. And I think in order to do that, you have to actually go back and look at the other two provisions or other two subsections within 3.156C. Because it is only by the examination of those that I think one can clearly understand how C is different and separate and apart from subsections A and B. Now, that what I argued in my brief was that the misinterpretation, the misapplication by the board was the failure to afford what I described as a new adjudication. And I will say candidly to the court that I did not flesh that out so as to understand what exactly that would mean, because I will confess I was not certain what that meant. as I have been required to prepare for this argument, it's caused me to go back to the entire text of this regulation, to look, if you will, at the regulatory scheme. And the regulatory scheme provides three different ways to treat new and material evidence. Under A, you treat new and material evidence for the limited purpose of determining whether or not a previous decision should be undone in its finality based upon the VA's receipt of new and material evidence. Evidence that they did not have at the time of the original adjudication, and if that has been submitted, then a new adjudication prospectively from the date of the request for reopening is undertaken. Under B, the secretary, A has a statutory predicate. The secretary was interpreting 5108. What is the requirements for reopening? When the secretary went to B, he did not have the benefit of a predicate statute. There was nothing that he was interpreting. He was in his authority under 501, creating a regulation that was beneficial to veterans in the process of an adjudication of any claim. So B doesn't just apply to cases that were previously denied. B applies to cases that have their own genesis, their own initial beginning, as well as claims that were previously decided. But what B does that differentiates itself from A is to allow for the, or excuse me, to mandate that the secretary must make a determination if the secretary receives new and material evidence that relates to the original claim within two discrete periods. Period one, the 1 year to file a notice of disagreement, period two, within the entire pendency of the appeal. At that point, as we know from the Bond decision and other decisions from the Federal Circuit, under B, an examination must be undertaken, or what happens? The claim remains pending. So we have a completely different situation in A than we do in B, because B is dealing with pending. Now, when we finally get to C, we are still dealing with new and material evidence. But the critical part, and the secretary recognized this in his regulation, when the secretary rewrote 3.156C1, he added a final phrase to the, C1 before the description of such records, in which he said that the VA will reconsider, but then ends with this final phrase, notwithstanding paragraph A of this section. Now, I believe that that language clearly excludes the VA from operating under A when you have a C circumstance. And what is the C circumstance? The VA's receipt of new and material evidence in the form of service department records. When the VA has had that receipt, you don't go to A, you don't do a reopening of a previously final claim, because basically you have a continuous claim from the date of the original decision.
Would Judge, that be 1998?
Yeah, well, 1997, the date of the claim,
well, 1997, I'm looking at the February 1998 examination by this Miss Barbara Masters. Is that the reference back date you're making?
No, I believe that the regulation is at least clear to this extent that what is to be reconsidered is the original claim, not the original decision. So it nullifies, vitiates the original decision of denial and mandates reconsideration, or if you will, a regulatory do-over of that original claim. And that is the piece that has been missing, I believe, in the understanding of this entire process.
Well, let me ask you this, if I may. assume for the moment that we didn't have this regulatory scheme.
Yes.
Do we have the power to say it just doesn't look right, either as a matter of duty to assist or fair to have a proper examination back in 97 or 98?
Before you answer that, Don, if you could add 5 minutes to it.
Yes, I believe this.
Are you comfortable with that argument? I don't want to make an argument that you don't want to make.
No, I am, Your Honor.
We have the power sitting here to cut right through this regulatory scheme and forget about the circular or the circles that my colleagues are pointing out. If it was wrong in 1997, what's wrong with us, again, apart from intervening cases and so on and so forth, what's wrong with us looking at that and saying, this was wrong, clear and unmistakable error for whatever it is Ms. Masters did or didn't do with available records? Or, by the way, do you know who Ms. Masters is? Is she a doctor?
Do you have any
medical training whatsoever?
I
do you know what questions or what analysis she brought to bear with regard to Mr. George in 1998?
No.
Is that relevant?
It's pertinent. It is relevant if the court recognizes that under C, there is a new adjudication required of the decision, of the claim that was originally made. And I started to say, as Judge Peach observed in the concurring opinion in Pacheco, she recognized that this regulation constitutes an exception to finality. Now, we hear all the time that there are only two exceptions to finality, reopening and Q.
What if somebody else on the court doesn't think that those are the only two exceptions to finality?
Well,
do you have another exception to finality?
I believe
it wrong, completely wrong the first time around? Another exception to finality?
I believe it should be, Your Honor, but I believe that's a separate question than C. This regulation is an administrative regulatory exception to finality. And the mandate of reconsideration, which this court has repeatedly recognized since as early as, I believe, 1997, that the requirement to reconsider is mandatory, not permissive. That once the trigger of the receipt of VA, of service department records that are relevant, that were not previously considered and not associated with the claims file, that triggers a mandatory reconsideration. The question that has eluded us all up to this point is precisely what do we do in that reconsideration?
So if I may pursue that, are you from your briefs asserting that the failure to provide a retrospective examination is an example of a failure to properly reconsider the case?
I believe that it is, but I believe that that is really an ancillary issue to clearly what happened in this case and what regularly happens in these cases, which is that the VA applies 3.156A rather than 3.156C.
Well, what would it have looked like in your view, pretend you're the secretary?
Mm-hmm.
What would it have looked like in this case if they had done it in a way that you think is proper?
I believe that is what is mandated by the plain language of 3.156C is that the original claim must be reconsidered anew.
And then?
It's a new adjudication, and you treat it just like you would treat the claim as it was made in 1997. In other words, everything is on the table.
So he has to get an NOD, a statement of the case, all that kind of stuff?
No.
Then what do you mean?
No. What I mean is that the reconsideration is you start over. You re-adjudicate. You give a new adjudication to the claim. You vitiate the 1998 decision. You take that off the table. So now we have a 1997 claim pending. and it is adjudicated as though nothing after 1997 in the adjudicatory history ever happened.
Okay, let's say we do that in 2003 or whatever year it was,
he had
his exam that demonstrated a diagnosis. If this was a brand new claim, would that be the effective date because that's the date entitlement is shown?
If the VA had afforded the veteran its duty to assist in fully developing the record based upon his lay statements and the medical statements that were acknowledged to exist in the record by the 2015 decision that said that he had had these symptoms long-standing.
So getting back to the retrospective exam, you're arguing they should have given him a retrospective exam to consider these things.
I would say that the duty to assist required a necessary medical opinion to address the question of whether it was at least as likely as not that the symptoms which he demonstrated beginning in 1997 were the same symptoms of the condition and disability diagnosed in 2003. And if that's the case, then they would be required under, C4, then to evaluate, based upon competent medical evidence, what the level of the severity of that disability would have been from 1997 to the present.
Okay. So if they should have given him an exam to do that consideration, isn't this just a different way of saying that there was a failure of a duty to assist in a Q claim?
No. Because the duty to assist in this context is part of the reconsideration. And if you deprive the veteran of the reconsideration, then the duty to assist is, if you will, one step removed. He doesn't get the duty to assist until he gets the reconsideration. When he gets the reconsideration, that duty to assist attaches just as it would with any other claim. Because it's adjudicating anew. It's a new adjudication. We take...
Right, but in the context of an original jurisdiction that walks in, files a new claim, it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to consider all the evidence. They're supposed to give them an exam if necessary. And when that doesn't happen, unfortunately, this court says... that's a duty to assist is not, because it's not going to be outcome determinative.
Because that is the disposition of the case after a decision by the VA. There's been no decision by the VA, in my estimation, under 3.156C because they've never reconsidered it. What they did in 2007 was to reopen it under A. Thank you very much.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The court should affirm the December 2015 board decision for two reasons. First, appellant cannot be granted an earlier effective date under 38 CFR Section 3.156C because his entitlement first arose in 2003. Appellant does not argue that entitlement arose prior to that date and thus fails to show that the board's decision is contrary to law. Second, VA reconsidered appellant's claim after service department records were received in 2007. Appellant argues that VA did not fully develop his claim during reconsideration, but that is a duty to assist allegation that must fail in this Q context.
I asked you about that point because it ties into the last point that Judge Sherwin was asking. So if you have a situation in which you have 3.156C operating, let's just take Q off the table, okay? And you get these service records that come in. The regulation tells us to reconsider. And you're on board with that, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Let's pretend that we know what reconsideration is, right? But whatever it is, we have to do it. And it involves at least considering these new records in connection with the evidence that existed without them, right?
Yes.
Okay. at that moment, there would be a duty to assist attaching to what was going on.
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm assuming, right?
Yes, and that's essentially what this court stated in Vigil versus Peak. When C applies, the duty to assist is triggered.
Right, so why is Mr. Carpenter's argument wrong that the mere fact that there might be a duty to assist after the fact that comes into play, if the error is, hypothetically, the VA never reconsidered, right? His argument is that's not a duty to assist point, even though it might lead to duty to assist obligations later, but that it's an upstream issue that no reconsideration. I want to give you a chance to respond to that point.
Sure. Your Honor, reconsideration simply requires VA to consider anew the merits of a claim after service department records were received. And in this case, VA did do that. And as the Federal Circuit stated in Blue Law versus Shinseki, when VA reconsiders the claim in light of service department records, it has exhausted its duties under subsection C1. So it's that consideration in light of the records. And reconsideration started here after the July 2007 records were received in October 2007 when the RO issued its rating decision granting service connection for PTSD in light of service department records. Now, appellant did appeal the effective date assigned in 2008, and eventually the parties entered into a JMR in 2012, which agreed that C applies and that the board should apply C and Vigil and obtain a retrospective opinion. Now, appellant has argued that no retrospective opinion was obtained, but there was one obtained in April 2013, and I would point you to page 197 of the record. And that examiner confirmed that there was no entitlement to PTSD, or I'm sorry, that appellant did not suffer from PTSD prior to 2003. And then in September 2014, which is the board decision at issue discussed by the 2015 board, the board considered this entire claim on the merits again. It looked at records from the 1990s. It discussed the service department records, and it looked at that April 2013 retrospective opinion.
Can I just stop you 1 second? Because this is all very helpful to me about considering what is reconsideration. But I have a more legal question that I wanted to start out with. And my question to you originally was bad, so I want to be clearer now because it follows on Judge Sholin's point. Okay, Judge Sholin was speaking with Mr. Carpenter about the fact that this could be seen as basically a beef about the duty to assist, and the law is that a duty to assist violation can't be cued, period, full stop. And I'm not putting words into Judge Sholin's mouth, but that's certainly what I heard. Now, Mr. Carpenter's response was this. Yes, if it were a duty to assist violation, you'd be right under the law, although I disagree with it, he would say. But what he said is, we never reached the duty to assist here because the legal error was a failure to reconsider. Now, I know you disagree that there was a failure to reconsider, right? But let's just assume that were true. I want to get your position on that legal point. Is this really just a duty to assist wrapped up in something else so we say it's no good under Q? Or is there a predicate legal issue? Do you follow that?
I do follow that. And in this case, I do think it is a duty to assist argument set forth in the Q context. However, hypothetically, had the 2014 board not said the original claim is 1997, which it did say, then it would perhaps not have reconsidered that. If it had only looked at the 2003 and beyond, which is when appellant filed his claim to reopen, then that would be an issue because the entire claim was not considered. But the board didn't do that. It did consider the 1997 claim and everything that came after that claim. And certainly, the effective date of an award under subsection C3 is the later of the date entitlement arose or when the prior claim was received. As I noted, the 2014 board did cite subsection C and state that the original 1997 claim was the date of claim, but it found that entitlement did not arise until 2003. And as the 2015 board stated, that determination is not contrary to law or fact. The earliest date of diagnosis for PTSD is dated in 2003, and the April 2013 retrospective opinion confirmed that. And appellant doesn't assert that there is an earlier date of entitlement. He argues only that the 2015 board mischaracterized the issue as Q and the effective date determination rather than Q and its application of subsection C, but that argument is really a red herring. His July 2008 NOD and his June 2009 substantive appeal both frame the issue as entitlement to an earlier effective date under subsection C. As the 2015 board stated, it was necessary for the 2014 board to then look at subsection C3 and determine when entitlement arose, and it did not err in stating that entitlement arose in 2003 when appellant was diagnosed. I want to briefly discuss appellant's arguments regarding finality. This court and the Federal Circuit have recognized that there are two exceptions, and those are Q and new material evidence. Appellant would have this court look at subsection C in the context of 3.156, subsections A and B, but this court has rejected that argument in Emerson versus McDonald. The court said that subsection C specifically distances itself from other portions of the subsection because it has the notwithstanding any other section of this part language, and because it requires relevant service department records, not new material ones. So subsection C should not be read in light of those other portions. C is an exception to the general effective date rules and not an exception to finality, as appellant argues.
So I'm intrigued by that last point, right? Because I agree with you, sort of 3.156C doesn't fit comfortably in the rubric that we like to draw about final and not final things. So for example, under 3.156B, which I've thought about a lot recently in another case,
yes.
You'd agree with me, that has a way of keeping a claim from becoming final in some sense.
Yes,
right?
For that 1 year period.
Right,
yes.
Okay. And then letter A, 3.156A, is an ability to reopen something that is final.
Yes.
Although it has a different effective date, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So in that rubric, if one reconsiders under 3.156C, how does that fit? Is it like A, except you can get a different effective date? Is that how you frame it?
Somewhat, yeah. As noted in the June 2005 proposed rule, C is meant to be an exception to the general effective dates, despite there being an intervening final decision. So this has nothing to do with that 1998 decision that is in the record. However, because these service department records were not received at that time, that was an administrative error, and VA recognizes that the appellant should not be precluded from an earlier effective date because of that administrative error. So then his 1997 claim is the correct date of claim, but there is no discussion of finality in that section. It's just looking at the initial claim.
Does this have any meaningful difference? I'm going to throw out one possibility, right? If in fact we don't vitiate the finality of the earlier decision under C, and a claimant is not happy with the reconsideration, I suppose then the only thing that would be appealable would be the reconsideration itself, as opposed to if a claim were reopened or, say, never becomes final under Section B. Sort of the whole kit and caboodle is in the appeal hopper, so to speak.
Well, Your Honor, under subsection C, the whole kit and caboodle is an appeal because you're looking at the original 1997 claim. So the board, as it did in 2014, looked at everything in the record from that date. So you could certainly appeal the duty to assist allegations, but that would have been appropriate had the 2014 board decision been appealed.
So as a matter of law, is there, taking it out of this case, the facts of this case, is there any meaningful distinction between asking whether 3.156C is an exception to finality or not?
In this case, it's hard to see that there is a distinction. I think it would be meaningful had there been multiple board decisions, and that's essentially what happened in Blue Ball, in that an initial claim was received and denied, a claim to reopen was filed, at which time service department records were received, that claim was again denied, and later it was granted. And the issue there was whether C applies when it has already been denied And if it applied based on the service department records. And the Federal Circuit said that C does not vitiate the finality, and C does not apply in that circumstance because the service department records were already considered and subject to a final decision. So had there been multiple decisions, I think it might be a trickier question. But again, the secretary would note that appellant has not shown that the 2015 board decision is contrary to law because his entitlement did arise in 2003.
I'd like to address the appellant's argument a little bit about that there is a lack of clarity or understanding about what reconsideration actually comprises of. Can you point us to any guidance that would be able to illuminate what that means?
Certainly. I think that in Bluebaugh and in Emerson, both the Federal Circuit and this court both stated that reconsideration is to adjudicate the merits of the initial claim again. And the Federal Circuit stated that once that happens, subsection C is complied with, and then you look at subsection C3 and C4. I think the term reconsideration, its plain meaning is to consider again. I don't think that there's really any ambiguity there. And appellant does state in his brief that reconsideration requires re-adjudication, and we agree, because you are re-adjudicating the initial claim. With leave, the M21 was not cited in the briefs, but in Part 3, Subpart 4, Chapter 2, Section B, Topic 2D.
Can you say that again?
Backwards.
Would you like that again?
Yes, please.
Part 3, Subpart 4, Chapter 2, Section B, Topic 2D.
2D?
D.
Thank you.
It's very long.
Which is merely precatory, right?
Yes, Your Honor, it's not binding. But it does show that VA has recognized that under subsection C, it states when new service department records are received, they should be forwarded to the rating agency for review, and if they require reconsideration of the merits of a prior claim, the RO will complete a rating decision. So that would just be like in the adjudication of any claim, records are viewed by the RO, it issues a rating decision which can be appealed. Appellant is arguing that his claim was not fully developed. He says that there was no retrospective examination, although there was one. He hasn't exactly stated what type of additional development he would like. Particularly, the February 2013 board did remand to acquire new records. Appellant did not submit anything, has not argued that there wasn't any additional evidence. Nevertheless, a duty to assist allegation cannot be Q. And again, this case comes to the court in the context of Q and not on direct appeal from the 2014 decision.
Do you agree with the way I articulated what I understand to be the standards of review here? That is, it is a de novo standard of review for us reviewing the 2015 decision with respect to whether that decision applied the correct legal rule.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then if we believe it did, we transition to whether or not in applying that rule, the 2015 board was arbitrary and capricious with respect to its determination of what the 2014 board did.
Yes, Your Honor, but I would add that that error must still be undebatable.
Oh, absolutely. But what I mean is that there is a gating question.
Yes.
Before we get to the deferential Q question, and it's whether the board applied deciding whether there was Q actually understood the correct legal rule that then it went on to apply.
Yes, Your Honor, and I believe that's in Lane versus Principi. The Federal Circuit did state that questions of law in a Q context are so reviewed de novo. If there are no further questions, the Secretary respectfully submits that the court should affirm the December 2015 board decision finding no Q and the 2014 board decision denying an earlier effective date. Thank you.
I'd like to begin with a discussion of effective date. This court has recognized that effective date generally is a downstream issue. It's not part of the original adjudication. And I concede my error in characterizing in the original appeal that it was an issue of effective date. It was not an issue of effective date. It was an issue of entitlement to reconsideration under 3.156C, which he was not afforded in the 2007 decision. The 2007 decision makes no mention of C, acknowledges the existence of the Service Department records, relied upon those records in its decision to make its award, but reopened it as it was a 3.156A reopening. That is the only adjudication that Mr. George has received in this case. Mr. George was then required to initiate an appeal. An appeal may get him a re-adjudication, a new decision by the agency, but those new decisions were all framed in terms of whether there was an entitlement to PTSD or the existence of PTSD prior to 2003. The proper understanding of reconsideration under 3.156C is that it is a new adjudication. We wipe the slate clean. And the adjudication is from 1997, the date of his claim, until the present. Not a look back as to whether the 2007 decision got it right. That decision was not the correct application of 3.156C, which was what was appealed, inarticulately framed by his humble counsel, as an effective date error. But it was not an effective date error. It was an error in failing to afford him the correct application of 3.156C. Now, I'd like to talk to the court a little bit about what the record actually says in terms of the examination that was afforded him on remand following the 2013 board decision. First, I'd like to direct the court's attention to the record at 211, the board decision of February 1, 2013. That board decision remanded following remand from this court, in which the government conceded that Vigil applied and the veteran was entitled to the benefit of 3.156C. Pursuant to that, the remand by the board at page 211 of the RBA asked on remand for an examination to provide an opinion as to when the veteran first suffered PTSD. That was the wrong question. The correct remand instruction was to reconsider the 1997 claim. No order of reconsideration was done, and then when the examination is performed, and that's in the record at 187 to 199, the statement of the examiner, which is only about 6 or 8 lines long, and is found at 197 of that examination report, says that with respect to the onset of PTSD, he was first diagnosed with PTSD and depression in 2003. The very next sentence begins, rationale, colon. The October 2003 note indicates that he had struggled with depression for the last month. Prior to treatment, he had a history of violence and alcohol abuse, but was not diagnosed with PTSD. That is upon which the VA, the board, in its decision in 2014, hung its hat, that there was a determination that he did not have PTSD. But the statement goes on to, or the report goes on to say, it would be resorting to speculation to conclude that his alcohol and violence of history were due to PTSD. That is not either the opinion that was sought, but more importantly, was not as applied by the VA when it got this report in the SSOC and then in the 2014 decision, a reconsideration of his 1997 claim. That simply never happened in this record. The VA suggests that the reconsideration occurred in the 2007 decision. I would encourage the court to examine that decision. And that decision is found in the record at 681 to 686. In that decision, there is no reconsideration of the original claim. So clearly that could not have been a reconsideration of the 1997 claim. 1997 claim isn't even mentioned in that decision. And the VA rests its case on the fact that that's when he was afforded reconsideration. No, he was afforded reopening under 3.156A. The VA suggests to simply require that reconsideration simply requires that the VA consider the merits. I am in agreement with that statement, but that hasn't occurred here. The merits are of the 1997 claim. Where in this record can the VA point to that there was a reconsideration of the 1997 claim? It never happened. That is at least clear from the mandate under 3.156E. You must reconsider the original claim. As to whether there is or isn't a meaningful distinction, I believe that there is a meaningful distinction, because what happens in reconsideration of the original claim is to treat that original claim anew. It requires a new adjudication. It requires as though we rewound the clock and we were back in 1997 when Mr. George submitted his 1997 application. And that's what's required by 3.156C, and that is a meaningful distinction. Finally.
If I can interject.
Yes.
You argue that what the board decided in 2014 when they looked at the 90s records, et cetera,
looked at the what records?
She asserted that in the board decision that they looked back all through the records,
yes,
to the 90s, that was not a reconsideration.
No, Your Honor, because it was essentially de novo review of an SSOC. If there was a reconsideration, it was the reconsideration which followed the 2013 remand for the examination that I talked about earlier, and then there was a decision in the form of an SSOC. But once again, that SSOC, if examined, does not reconsider the 1997 claim. It expressly deals with the issue of whether or not PTSD existed prior to 1997. That's a looking back issue, which is why effective date is downstream, as opposed to a looking forward issue from a new original adjudication.
Well, but looking forward, there was already the determination that he was service connected.
And that determination was made under A and not under C. And even though it obviously benefited Mr. George and got him benefits from 2003 going forward, it did not deal with the reconsideration of his 1997 claim. And it took until at least 2013 to get that reconsideration, if in fact it was afforded. And I'm saying to this court that on this record and under the correct interpretation of the regulation, that was not the reconsideration that's mandated by the regulation.
Was he represented in 1997 by counsel?
I do not believe so.
Well, what would you have argued in 1997 if you were his lawyer that he should have received but didn't? You're asking
the problem
to order the secretary to go back to 1997 and start all over again in analyzing his claim. Isn't that what you're asking us to do?
With the benefit of those new service department records.
Well, everything.
Yes, yes.
So what would you have argued? The availability of the documents?
That as the 2000...
Or would you have contested the validity of the original examinations in 1998, for example, which found no PTSD?
Well, certainly I would have done that, but it seems to me that in a reconsideration, in a new adjudication, you have the benefit, as Judge Scholin correctly observes, in 2007, the VA concedes that there exists a disability from post-traumatic stress disorder that is related to his experiences in service and that he is entitled to compensation. Started at a 30% rating, ended at a total rating from 2003. But no consideration was ever given to 1997 to 2003 because they did the adjudication backwards.
So this whole argument is over, and it's not that it's inconsiderable, but I'd like you to quantify it if you can, the difference between an effective date of 1997 and 2003.
No, Your Honor, I believe that that is in fact the end result.
Yes.
But that is not what is at issue here. What is at issue here is what the VA is required to do under the mandate of 3.156C. What is a reconsideration? And a reconsideration, correctly observed and conceded by the government, is in the guidance from Blubaugh and from Emerson that it is a new adjudication of that 1997 claim.
But what difference would it make to Mr. George?
Because in the new adjudication, I believe, with the duties to assist being afforded, right, he would have gotten a finding that his PTSD was at least as likely as not existent at the time of his claim, which would then move us to C4 to develop evidence as to the severity in that window from 1997 to 2003.
So you're not predicting what the outcome would have been, in other words. No. You're not predicting what the secretary would have, or the board would have, or the regional office, whatever, would have concluded, but you're saying you were denied the opportunity to make the case.
I certainly assert that, but the legal error was in the failure of the board to require the VA to do what it was required to do, what it is mandated to do under 3.156C, which is to reconsider the original claim, to provide that new adjudication.
Sounds to me like we're saying the same thing, but
well, we may be
guided by what you're content to argue. This is not an abstraction.
No.
George versus the secretary. So we have an obligation to resolve this.
Yes.
In this particular case.
I believe you do, and I believe that this court should reach this issue, and that the issue is based upon how this court interprets what is required of the VA under the mandate for reconsideration. What are they supposed to do, and how are they supposed to do it? So if there are no further questions, I thank the court for your attention.
Thank you. The case will be submitted for decision. The court is now adjourned. We'll come down and recount.
All rise.